Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul writes, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church." On Epiphany Day, January 6th, we sang the great hymn, "O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright," called the Queen of Lutheran Chorales, written by the Lutheran pastor Philip Nicolai around the year 1598. Nicolai wrote a devotional book called Mirror of Joy. He wrote this in the midst of 2 or 3 years where he presided over the funerals of nearly 1,000 of his parish who died from a plague that ravaged his town. Our hymn number 395, Pastor Nicolai entitled, "A Spiritual Bridal Song of the Believing Soul Concerning Jesus Christ, Her Heavenly Bridegroom," founded on the 45th Psalm of the prophet David. So in the midst of death and horror, Nicolai finds a beautiful thought to dwell upon. Instead of joining the ongoing funeral train, his abiding faith in Christ sought rather to join the wedding procession to the nuptial hall of the kingdom of the Lamb, the one where there will be no end. Come, heavenly bridegroom, light divine, and deep within our hearts now shine their light, a flame undying. In your one body let us be, as living branches of a tree, your life, our lives supplying. Now, though daily, earth's deep sadness may perplex us and distress us, yet with heavenly joy you bless us. Nicolai turned his thoughts to weddings instead of funerals. Perhaps this is something to contemplate in light of the apostles' teaching from Ephesians 5 and the story of the wedding at Cana. A man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The bridegroom and the bride at Cana are nameless. They are incidental to and pretty much left out of the story in John's account. Instead, the two leading roles in the story are really filled by the Lord Jesus and his mother Mary. Weddings are happy, unifying occasions, right? They bring together family and friends. They are one of those few occasions anymore in our displaced and overly mobile society where families all come together. Thinking about that, the other times for Christian families to come together in such a way is for the baptism or confirmation of someone in the family or for the funeral of a family member. Now, here at Emmanuel, we've seen the Lord provide excellent husbands to the two Latta daughters, Kristen and Emily. Each one has been married the last 2 Christmas seasons, right in a row. Mike and Sarah are plumb out of daughters to marry off. Perhaps the Lord will provide us another Christmas wedding next Christmas tide, but it'll have to be somebody else's daughter. But Mike has escorted his 2 daughters down the aisle. And you've learned something from the Bible about that reason we observe that tradition at our weddings. The bride adorned in white is the type of, or is a picture of, the Holy Christian Church, which has been made pure and holy by the atoning blood of Jesus. Mike and other fathers, when they escort their daughter to give her over to her groom, they are playing the role of, or they are a picture of, the Heavenly Father, who, by the work of his Holy Spirit, brings together in eternity his only begotten Son and his sanctified church of all times and places. Even as once in the Garden of Eden, the Heavenly Father brought forth the mother of us all, Eve, from out of the side of the man, Adam, and then brought her to the man, giving her to him as his helpmeet and companion, a helper fit for him. So wedding traditions are not just traditions for tradition's sake. We're confessing the truth of Holy Scripture through our words and deeds. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and his church. Our marriages and our weddings are not in and of themselves Christ and his bride, the church. They are images, types, shadows of a greater reality. They find their meaning and their completion and their ultimate fulfillment in Christ and his bride, the church. Jewish weddings at the time of Jesus were a bit different than ours. According to how the ancient rabbis described weddings, there was much more going on than festivity and merriment. Pious Jews fasted before their wedding ceremony, and many confessed their sins. Some rabbis taught that entering into the married state conveyed the forgiveness of sins. They were, of course, wrong, but they were kind of feeling in the dark for the mystery of who the heavenly bridegroom is, weren't they? The relationship of husband and bride between the Lord and his people is a theme taken up throughout the Old Testament. The wedding is a symbol of the union between God and Israel, which results from God's steadfast love for Israel. Psalm 45 describes a royal marriage, the procession of the king, God, whose throne is forever and ever, and he is brought to his queen, who is to forget her father's house and seek only to serve and praise her God and Lord. The prophet Ezekiel describes God taking unworthy Israel as a wife, and giving her all the adornments worthy of a queen, having washed her with water and rinsed away the blood that stains her. Isaiah writes that as God delights in Israel, as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall God rejoice over you. Hosea the prophet said it this way, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness, God says, and in justice, and in steadfast love and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you will know the Lord. Marriage between God and Israel was by divine mercy and forgiveness. Israel submitted by turning from idolatry to a faithful union with God. That marriage would bring peace and unity with God, an everlasting joy that is the sign of the days of the Messiah, the Christ who was promised. The ancient rabbis from the time of Jesus taught that since God himself had spoken the words of blessing over the cup of at the union of our first parents, with the archangels acting as groomsmen and the host of angels being the choir to sing the wedding hymn, there was nothing, therefore, in Israel that could trump the wedding procession of a bride and her party. The bride and her party, ending her time of betrothal, would walk with music and torches and flowers, accompanied by the friends of the bridegroom, from her paternal home to her new husband's home. And there the ceremony would take place. Everyone in the town who encountered the bridal procession was expected to join it. Even if you were in a funeral procession, the funeral yielded to the wedding. It was a confession that life and new creation are God's real intention, not death. The bridegroom and the bride, crowned with garlands, would profess vows publicly and sign the paperwork, the groom and his family giving over the bridal dowry in property shared. And the feast might last more than a day. And finally, the happy couple would consummate the marriage, the two becoming one flesh. God's creative action in the world is continued. Of children. Now we come back to the wedding at Cana, and knowing what is happening, we hear precious little about this from the holy evangelists, except that in attendance is the real bridegroom, the one who has been betrothed to Israel, his bride. You see, Jesus fasted in the wilderness, resisted and overcame Satan's temptations. John the Baptist proclaimed him publicly the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus indeed received the sinner's baptism to fulfill all righteousness. The miracle at Cana is a true story that really shows us the Son of Man leaving his mother to hold fast to his bride in order to fulfill the will of the Father in heaven. We heard an overtone of that in last week's gospel. The boy Jesus in the temple told his mother, "Do you not know that it is necessary that I be about my Father's business?" Today, when Mary tells Jesus the wedding is out of wine, he answers very similarly and curtly, "Woman," not mother, but woman. "What is this to me? My hour has not yet come. My hour has not yet come." The cross at Calvary casts its shadow here at this wedding. For Jesus said from his cross to his mother, "Woman, woman, behold your son." The scenes at Cana's wedding and at Calvary are joined together by the presence of Mary and Jesus calling her woman at both case times. When Mary said there was no wine, her words don't merely refer to the lack of a beverage, although that was true. They were out of wine. But Mary's words are a statement that this wedding feast is not yet that of the final marriage between God and Israel. They need more wine. You, Jesus, have yet more to give, don't you? In light of the coming change of water into wine, Mary's implicit request for wine is an implicit request for the cleansing blood of Jesus. The blood and the water that flowed from his pierced side at his death. But at Cana, that hour for that consummation of the heavenly bridegroom to his bride, the church, the new Israel, had not yet come. The cross is that hour, the most unbelievable wedding ceremony ever. There Jesus gave himself as the price for his bride. There he made his eternal vow good, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. There he said he would drink the cup of the new wine with you in his Father's eternal kingdom. That blood, signified by the abundant gift of new wine at the wedding, was shed at the true marriage on Calvary, where the Father gave his only begotten Son, lifted up on high, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. A funeral procession, however, in those old days, gave way to a wedding procession. The cross gives way to an empty tomb. No wonder our friend Pastor Nikolai, surrounded by grief in his corner of Germany some 400 years ago, preferred to think of the heavenly bridegroom. You too should set your hearts there and your minds on him by the power of the Holy Spirit working in you, especially when earth's deep sadness perplexes and distresses you. You remember that you are a new Israel, a new family of God, formed and washed and made holy by the blood of Jesus, formed of water and the Spirit, born from above. And those born from above, the holy and pure and righteous bride of Christ, you and the Pastor Nikolai and the Blessed Virgin Mary and all who believe in the Savior, you will be resurrected with your risen and ascended bridegroom to drink his new wine that will never run out at the wedding feast that he has prepared for you and all who love his appearing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.